especially for freshmen, because that's a time of year where it's like, now you're here, you're at school, and it's this first taste of freedom. You know, you're not texting your mom when you're coming home every night. It's just you, and it's all on you. So you suddenly have the, I guess, interest in experiencing what you think college is supposed to be like. And I think that there's this kind of social paradox that goes along with college where it's like, yes, you know, we're all in college, we're smart, we understand that the law is that you're not supposed to consume alcohol if you're under 21, but it's also understood that when you go to college, you're supposed to drink. So you're kind of dealing with that cultural pressure to drink, and then this is a time where it's available because, you know, classes usually aren't in full swing, you're not feeling the academic pressure yet, so it's just available. And returning students who are older than freshmen who often are hosting these parties, you know, everyone's excited to see each other again, and it's just like the big kickoff time of the year. So it's a lot more common for people to drink on a Thursday night and party throughout the weekend. So I would say that that definitely holds true, even on a college campus like mine, where it's understood that we're maybe a nerdier campus and we don't party, but it's college, you know, everyone has access to parties. That's just kind of how it is, I guess. I hear about personally people, like maybe you have an older brother who's having a party and you guys are trying to get alcohol through them, you know, people giving other people money and that money somehow getting to someone who's going to buy them alcohol who either can because they're 21, or other than that, on the flip side, you hear about people getting access to fake IDs and going to the liquor store, you know, to buy alcohol themselves, or they give money to someone who has a fake ID and then they buy somebody else alcohol, and it's kind of like this. This chain, like there's just, it's just interesting how there's understood ways for people to gain access to alcohol. And I don't think it's always that older students, you know, who may even be of age are hosting these parties and providing alcohol to people who are under 21. But students, you know, we find ways. There's people that you just know, like, you know, that liquor store on whatever street doesn't check IDs very often. So if you have a friend who looks more mature and older, you know, everyone gives them a 20 and they get the alcohol they want or something like that. Because even though dry campuses are dry campuses, it's not, you know, uncommon that there's a party in the dorms or something, in the freshman dorms even, that gets either broken up or not broken up. So there is definitely an aspect playing into people providing minors, not only like liquor stores from that sense, but just older students providing minors with alcohol. And people kind of find channels, consistent channels, to get that alcohol. But I definitely think older students have the resources to host parties. A lot of people live off campus, or they maybe live in different dorms, like not freshman dorms, or apartments on campus, and they can host parties with less risk of getting caught, I guess, is the idea. So people are always trying to find that place to be. So. And generally, you can assume there's going to be alcohol there and that they're not going to check your ID when you walk in the front door and say, nope, we're not giving you alcohol because you're under 21. It's just not coming, even though it should probably happen. I don't think it happens. I just don't think people are thinking that they're going to get caught. Well, I think that I'm approaching this from kind of two contexts, because I work in two capacities. I work in a health education office on campus, so I get that. And then I'm also a student, so I can be practical and realistic. And we know from, you know, different surveys, like the National College Health Assessment says that like 35% of students nationally, so about a third of students that they survey, report that they regret something they did while they're under the influence. And I can say that personally, I know people who have experienced something that they regret doing. You know, the severity is, it's on a spectrum of what it was, but you know, that's upsetting. And we also see, though, that students, you know, are making better decisions. And I think a lot of that has to do with education, that students are more than they were before. They're staying with their friends at parties. They're not leaving with strangers. You know, they're using designated drivers. But those are always numbers we want to increase. So I think education is great. And I think a lot of universities are doing a really good job with education. We're doing more dynamic education. It's interesting. We're getting peers involved in that. So having students work with other students to talk about these issues, so it's a little more informal but also believable. And having peers model good, responsible drinking habits and general health behaviors. But I think policy is really important, and that's something that I know organizations like the Maryland Collaborative to Reduce College Drinking are working on, and that is great because they're doing it based on research. And the other side of that, though, with policy is that though we can create policies that can hopefully generate consequences for drinking and actions people take while under the influence, the big key to that is enforcement. And I think that's the biggest problem right now, is that students aren't experiencing these negative consequences for breaking the law, whether it's just drinking underage or maybe sexual assault. You know, we're seeing a lot of that in the news. That's a really popular topic of debate, is how schools handle sexual assaults. But a lot of this goes back to alcohol consumption. And if we can't enforce consistently, students aren't going to think twice about doing these things like drinking underage or providing alcohol to minors, because it's just not something they believe is going to happen to them. So whether that means judicial action by the university, or maybe even something we need to start thinking about is legal action or civil action in the community, because we see that a lot of students at different universities in our state live off campus. So they're not having parties in the campus community, but they are affecting their community. So maybe that means involving community stakeholders, whether it's like councilmen or women or landlords of the homes these students are renting from, and even just interested neighbors, in figuring out ways we can enact local policy, maybe county policies even, to address these issues and enforce consequences for these behaviors, so that we really focus on people behaving responsibly and making informed decisions in regards to their health. So I think a lot of it has to do with these students' environments that they live in. You know, how can we change the environment, whether it's through policy and enforcement or just general environmental change, so that they're encouraged to, if they're going to drink, drink responsibly, or to not drink at all. And that way, your community is happier, because we're not seeing as many negative consequences ripple, you know, the ripple effect through the community.